Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Daigoro versus Goliath.
1972.
Right.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. Can I say something?
Please.
I think much like Daimajin 3, I was entertained.
This is your favorite?
This is my favorite Daimajin movie. No. It's my. It was the. This movie, I was entertained the whole time. But I think most of it came from confusion and trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah, this was just what is happening.
But I think. I think without like the first like 2 or 3 minutes, it made more sense if you didn't see the first 2 or 3 minutes. Or listen to the lyrics of the song at the beginning.
Oh.
Because it says a guy fell from outer space and woke him up or something. I don't know. I didn't understand any of that. I understand kind of the concept of what was happening.
Right.
But it was.
But there's so many. There were so many like B, C, D, like so many other like stories going on.
Right. And it felt like maybe like this is like maybe we should have saw a TV show first or read a comic book first.
Was this a TV show first?
I don't know. That's what it feels like. I guess I could have looked it up, but this is not my MO. You know what I mean? Like it just feels like we got dropped in the middle of something.
And yeah, really it definitely feels like it's already in progress. Everyone knows who Daigoro is.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids love him.
Right.
And there's a lot of marketing or something around it. Like he's got a lot of publicity, at least in this small area.
Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't think it's publicity. I think it's just people. They're like activists.
Okay.
They're just trying to drum up support to get the budget higher so that Daigoro doesn't go hungry.
Yeah, the only thing we really know about it is Daigoro is a hungry monster.
And his mom died. That's all we know.
Yes, we find that out. Yes.
So I feel bad for Daigoro a lot. Because they are unable to fill his bowl, and so it's like up to kids. Kids are the ones that are kind of rallying for food donations and money donations, so
right.
That this poor animal could get fed.
I might be wrong, okay. but because of confusion and whatnot, I did try to go, all right, let me just see how this person explains the plot.
Okay.
And not necessarily about the origin story itself, but it seemed like it almost felt like it was like a company took charge of Daigoro so that they could use it as, like, put his picture on stuff, almost, it seemed like.
Okay.
And it became too much for them to keep feeding, and they weren't getting it. But I might be wrong. There might be something I read, and I misread it, because there's nothing in there really about the company as much as, okay, there's the guy who comes over and decides to... Hold on. Okay.
The guy who was like, okay.
There's the guy who takes care of Daigoro.
Right. And he
loves him.
He was like nearby when they found him. Like he was like a veterinarian or something.
Right.
And he happened to be nearby when they found him. And so it got kind of hoisted upon him to.
He took his responsibility on it.
Right.
To take care of.
And he's grown to love Daigoro.
Right.
Makes sense.
Now, the other guy with the glasses, the guy who keeps trying to convince Daigoro that he's a friend.
Is that the president?
The president of what?
I don't know. The kids mention the president, and it's a guy with glasses. And at the end, I mean, not to jump to the end, but he says he's going to up the budget for Daigoro.
Right. Oh, okay. So.
So is he the president?
Okay, I just checked it. It says, soon Daigoro grew too big for a man to take care of since he needed to be feeding too often. This caused the man the man to make Daigoro an icon for a business so he could be fed.
Okay. So it's like a Tamagotchi for the world.
It's like
here's an entity with a personality.
It seems like he's not really in the public. You know, the public isn't taking care of it. Actually, the public doesn't seem to want to, because there's that old scene where they're trying to raise money for Daigoro, and they're trying to be like, look, if you just buy one less jet fighter,
yeah,
you can feed Daigoro for three years. It's kind of like, you know, this is the type of argument you have about, you know, when you spend on defense versus, you know,
like
you could feed people in the country.
Yeah.
And the people, when they said they were saying that, that's the scene where they're like called, they have like the megaphone on the truck, and the people who are there, who are all a bunch of guys in white shirts and ties, they're like, you know, we don't want our tax dollars going to feed a monster.
Right.
So, all right. So anyways, go on.
Go on. I don't know with what.
It's like, okay,
it's such a crazy movie. Right,
so this is what we got. We know we have a monster that's hungry, and there's not enough money to keep him fed.
Right.
So an inventor, which I always do love when inventors are depicted in these kind of movies, because they have very interesting gadgets in their houses.
They're usually toy related.
Always.
Yeah.
And and so this inventor, in the opening we see him, he's invented a flying bike, which looks a lot like when you see like black and white compilations of old timey flying machines.
Yeah, the guy with the wings falling off the tiny cliff.
Yeah, the ones that break. Yeah, so it's that.
It's not part of it, but it's also like the guy getting shot in the stomach with a cannonball.
Yeah, it's like, it's part like that of that time whole period. Series of things that that are just live in our subconscious.
Right.
The and so he has a little motorcycle that
the aero bike
with wings on it that is, you know, supposedly if he can get it to fly for 2 seconds. He gets 2 million yen.
Yeah. Did you look up the conversion?
It's interesting. It's like a running contest that he's the only one who seems to enter.
Right.
To invent something new, and then he'd get paid 2 million yen.
Yeah. I looked it up, and today it is $18,000.
Right.
And
yeah, yen, you just kind of move zero. You just kind of move a couple decimal points over.
Yeah.
And kind of get it. Speaking of the money exchange, there's another great moment when the kids are begging for money for Daigoro, trying to get someone to donate. And the president, the manager, that the lady calls him manager and says, president.
Yeah.
And then that same lady was going to donate. She pulls a bill out and she's going to give it to the kids. And they say, thank you, Mrs. And she's so offended that they call her Mrs. that instead she gives them 20 yen.
Yeah.
And which is like a coin. She puts the bill away because she's offended that
she's called Mrs.
She's basically called old lady.
Yeah. The aero bike explodes. Which was weird also because the aero bike, it looks like he needed so many miles to get it up to speed to start flying.
Yeah.
Like he was going through a town and stuff and knocking people over.
Right.
Like as soon as you see that, it's definitely like known that this is going to be a kid's movie.
Sure.
I
think the song.
Yeah.
Helped.
But the, okay. So when we first see Daigoro, cause we see him at the very beginning, he's sleeping and he wakes up. I noticed that he had a lot of neck holes for the actor to look through. It's just an observation. Okay. We get his backstory in a flashback. in which Daigoro's mom invades Japan.
Right.
She gets taken out by the military.
Daigoro's mom kind of looks like, you know, it's like, what were they? Those three little guys that turned into the non King Ghidorah three-headed monster. Three in one of the Mothra movies.
Yeah, no, that was that was the one with the Mecha King Ghidorah. That was Godzilla versus King Ghidorah
from like the one that had the babies, those little babies.
Yeah, they had three of them, and they took them back in time to the islands where the dinosaur was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that with a wig on.
Right. It looked like
a wig that's always flowing, like Storm in the old X-Men movie.
Yeah,
it's like
there's always a fan or a leaf blower.
Yeah.
Like right on.
Always on a rock video.
Looks nothing like Daigoro. And no. I'm wondering where they got these suits from. If they're like holdovers from something else.
Well, okay, so Daigoro, just to talk about it, he looks like he is a cross between a hippo and an accordion.
Yeah, his legs reminded me of Mogera. From the Mysterious.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they're all, all that kind of.
But what kind of weirded me out is that he had like toenails.
Yeah, and fingernails, right.
And then little horns, like little, like rounded off horns. I didn't hate the design. I liked, he has like the big belly and he keeps rubbing it like Fat Bastard from Austin Powers. So I kept thinking of that. I don't hate the design. It's unique, which I like. Like, we've seen a lot of things where it's like, oh, it's just another like Godzilla, but they put a horn on its head, or it's like Godzilla, but they put feathers on it. It's interesting because, well, I like it because it's like, definitely an innocent character. It fits what it, you know, it looks like how it should look.
He's designed like a Saturday morning kids TV show kind of,
right?
Like a Barney.
yeah or what was the new Zoo Review, or what was the other one?
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah.
They had a hippo.
They had a hippo. I think that's why I thought of that. There's a scene. This might be a first. We have a scene where the guy who takes care of Daigoro and his girlfriend are wandering around the beach looking for a private place to smooch or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Daigoro comes in.
Right.
And interrupts. So this is a first, and it's been a while since we've seen this, but this is a big Daigoro cock block.
Yeah, it is.
We haven't seen a cock block in a while. That's something that like happened on like our first like five of our first seven episodes.
Seemed like it.
Yeah, it's been a while. Back to the inventor. His house, his front yard specifically.
Yeah.
I don't know if I liked it, if I'm creeped out by it.
I get you.
The robot dog is cool. I'm like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, we've seen those at like every swap meet.
Yeah, and it looks like it kind of looks like it's a like a miniature golf course.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool for a front yard. But then there's the band.
Right.
Sitting around the fountain.
With the lady and
They look creepy.
Yeah. I give you that.
They're a little bit scary. Like if I came home at night and one of those moved, I'd freak out.
Set off.
Yeah. And then I didn't fully understand how the door opened. It was like a black box connected to a bike tire.
Right. All the different like bicycle wheels turned into some sort of gear system. I didn't quite understand what made it open, how exactly, like some kind of sensor, I guess, but I just accepted that that's what it does, you know.
Right.
It's kind of like the opening of Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's like it's just a series of like you know, Rube Goldberg machines kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, these shoes. This is where I got really confused.
Oh, that got very confusing. Oh yeah. Okay, so okay, wait. So first of all, one of the things the president is trying to figure out, how do we do this? How do we take care of this problem? And he says, you know, we'd be lucky if he would die from a disease, right. But we don't want to poison him.
Right. That was pretty harsh.
Yeah.
Like, he was just kind of hoping that the problem would just go away, but didn't want to actively get rid of him.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a message in there.
And, you know, by the way, it's like I thought, oh, there's a song. There's an opening song. That's cool. And then you realize, oh, there's songs throughout this movie.
Right.
Now, the other guy. I couldn't even tell you what his character's name is. Do you know? You know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about.
He's the friend.
He's
who
the...
decides he's going to give up drinking,
right,
and donate that money that he would normally pay for booze to the fund to feed Daigoro.
That guy went from annoying to pretty entertaining to annoying. Like, it all depended on the scene.
Yeah.
And there's one scene in particular where I really, really liked him.
He gets introduced when the inventor's in the hospital, right? He comes in the hospital because he's going to go harass someone. He harasses the inventor, who's in a lot of pain, and he keeps, like, moving his arms and stuff.
Yeah, he's, like, in traction.
And then it appears that he's harassing the wrong guy,
right,
because his buddy is in the other bed.
Right.
There's also...
But it doesn't make sense that he says that he recognizes the girl.
Right.
If she's not with his friend.
Right.
That didn't make sense.
Does not make sense.
You kind of have to just go with it. And then somehow,
but he has a great fight fantasy. I guess it's a fantasy where he's fighting all those white shirts in the street and he's ripping shirts off of them.
Yeah.
But then suddenly there's no one around anymore. And I don't understand. There's a lot of like weird magic moments where people either disappear or people appear.
Yeah, like the magic shoes.
Now we can go for it. That leads us into the magic shoes pretty well.
I don't even know. That's so hard to explain. I mean, I could just describe what happened.
This is the back to the drawing board moment. And like, what can I invent?
Right.
And he decides he can invent magic shoes.
That's the premise. He doesn't say, I'm going to invent shoes that
magic.
Can blink.
Shoes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. So somehow that causes another of him
to show up,
to just appear.
And I was trying to think if this was some sort of a time lapse, like a time sort of jump where we see, but it doesn't really fade. It just appears, like a second guy appears.
It's some kind of weird fantasy sequence, but it looks like the kids can see it too.
Right. And, like, all this junk on the table disappears and the shoes are left behind and he puts on the shoes. And it's never explained what the shoes do. Apparently, they're just really light.
They're extremely light.
So, I'm assuming that means since they're so light that you can lift off the ground. So, but why wouldn't he just say, I want to make flying shoes? What makes them magic? I don't know.
Well, I thought it was that they were super fast.
Is that it?
Really fast with them.
Because they're light.
And then when he came back, it was like going, oh, but they're light. You could probably jump. And then he
hovers, kind of. Is that what he does?
I think. Wait, is this when his niece walks in on him?
I think so.
Where he bumps something that's in his
trash can
his lab thing, And oh, that too. Oh man, I did love that trash can though.
Yeah, what was that thing?
Yeah, it was kind of like this spring-loaded, like kind of Jack in the Box style garden gnome thing.
Trash can. Oh my gosh! That, you know what? That would
out
be
the trash can and knocked all this stuff out. It's like
a Ghoulies.
It'd be a good like prank,
right? If you had like one of those trash cans where you hit the pedal and the lid pops up, but then like a guy comes out.
And so he had these things, and they hooked onto him, and they lift him off the ground, which is right at the moment when his niece shows up with her fiance, and she's very embarrassed by him. There's a whole run of how embarrassed his niece is to be associated with the inventor, for sure.
Right.
Or she gave him 20 in. Yeah.
So the dude from the
I was like, wait, does he have a clone?
I don't know. It didn't. I wrote clone also. Like he's like, I'm gonna make magic shoes, whatever that is, and then got his clone to help him. But it's like, well, why don't you just, you know, put the clone in the inventor contest?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This is the moment in my notes where I wrote down what is going on in this movie.
Yeah, that's like thinking when I got really confused and I was like, well, it's interesting to look at. And it just kind of kept on going. I think I was okay. I think I was pretty much okay with this movie. There's some interesting stuff in it that happens later that, I mean, none of this stuff happens in any other kaiju movie. Like there's a lot of weird stuff in this. But it's what's I liked about it is it's not really cut and paste.
Right. Well, like, and there's things. Go on. It's not okay. Cut and paste.
Well, I mean, so like we have Daigoro, and this is the part where like they only fill up like half his dish, but they fill it with like a giant pot roast or something. Like there's like vegetables and potatoes and carrots,
it's
and fish
loaves
and stuff.
Of bread.
Yeah,
there's like grapefruit. Yeah, it's a bunch.
So I like that this like nation had to adopt a kaiju.
Yeah,
because they orphaned it. Like that's a concept that we've never seen before. That I think,
but
is
I think it's like basically like a corporation that had to do that.
Yeah, and we've seen like scientists with baby Godzilla.
Yeah,
like in the 90s ones and stuff. So that's kind of it's a little bit similar, but this is like that was just a way for Godzilla to be mad at people and come to where they were. But this is like sure. A weird sort of like this stuff where they're feeding him and helping him stay alive, and then later on humans training a kaiju to fight for them. I thought was
right.
Interesting as well. Like a training montage, like we've seen in like Pacific Rim, how the robot drivers, you know, the Jaeger drivers train to fight monsters, but we've never seen like a sort of Rocky situation. I guess we do see Godzilla kind of train Minya to like how to do fire breath and stuff.
Sure.
But this like kind of where humans are like, well, the thing that sucks is first of all, they try to inhibit his growth.
And the solution is to give him anti-growth.
Right.
Which is some liquid that they put in the loaves of bread that they feed to make him so that he would become smaller, basically. They would shrink him, then he would have to eat less.
Oh, and it's interesting. I thought they were just making it so it doesn't grow anymore.
I thought
So he wouldn't continue to
need
more.
At one point, he does assist to stunt his growth, but I believe
they're trying to shrink
the ultimate
him.
Goal was to shrink him a little bit,
so he can eat.
So because he couldn't, they couldn't handle him how much he currently eats. So my assumption was that they would have to get him to somehow eat smaller,
right?
Eat even less,
right?
And so they mix it into the stuff and they take it to him. The president goes and takes it to him. And that girl or he can sniff something's up about it.
Yeah, he rejects it.
He throws it back.
And the handler doesn't want them to do this.
Then he starts eating it. Yeah. Because he understands the dilemma that they're in.
Right.
And he decides he's going to do it for them.
Right.
And everyone cries.
Including Daigoro.
Yes.
Which I think this is our first crying kaiju. I can't think of any other that would. Maybe that dude from Monster X who got a...
Did Godzilla cry? Did Godzilla cry when the kid was dying?
I don't know. I don't think so. But, I mean, he takes the growth inhibitor thing right before Goliath shows up.
Right.
Which is bad.
The timing is awful.
Yeah, right. So when Goliath shows up, I couldn't tell if it was covered in ice or white goo or both. And so I decided that it was white goo. And then they said it was a cold monster. So I think it's ice. Goliath was kind of a run-of-the-mill looking kaiju. Looked like something that we would see out of a Gamera movie.
Very basic.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I feel that feel like it felt very TV showish. Oh, by the way, that when that machine picks the guy up and his niece walks in him, he has that moment where he gets caught and he goes, "Ultraman."
Yes, that's right.
This is a production is a combination Toho and is it Tsuburaya the. So it's like it's the Toho studio as well as the Ultraman studio. Got in it. This is like a whole collaboration.
So maybe Toho did the miniatures and the Ultraman guys did the costumes. Cuz I thought the miniatures looked great. Especially like the fight scene.
The buildings?
Yes. The buildings and then the beach. Like, I thought the beach looked cool with, like, the shipwrecked boat on it and stuff.
Yeah.
That stuff looked really nice.
Yeah.
I didn't hate this. The fights were kind of funny because they're mostly, like, slap fights. Like, you would see in, like, a comedy where people don't know how to fight, so they just both are, like, slapping each other.
Yeah.
The fights weren't super intense, but, geez Louise, man, Daigoro gets taken out. Round one.
Okay. I have a question for you. Something I do not understand.
Oh boy. Okay.
So, okay. This actually. I'm backing this up a little bit because this is before Goliath shows up.
Okay. Or
before Great Stellar Monster, as he was first known, and then it says, "Oh, we're gonna name him Goliath."
Yeah, it's better.
The inventor invents a missile that will make it rain.
Right.
Instead, it starts snowing. And yes. Everyone's like, "Oh, you did it. You did it." And he's like, "Oh." And they give him the 2 million yen. Uh-huh. And then there's a part where they look and on the ground, there's this red thing sticking out of the ground, and they try and bury it real fast.
Right. I think it's part of his rocket. The rocket that holds, I think it's part of the rocket that holds the water for the rain. I think it blew off when it launched, and didn't explode in the atmosphere.
Hiding the fact that because it does seem that it just started to snow.
It's a total coincidence that it started snowing.
Right. Or related to the show up of Goliath.
Because right. Well, that's what it turns out to be. His
coldness seemed to affect the thing. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what it turns out to be. It's just that he showed up just like 2 minutes after he launched his rain rocket. The rain rocket didn't work, but it started snowing. And they even say they have a dilemma where they're like, "Well, should we? It's snow. Do we give it to him anyway? Give him the money anyway?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure. It's. You know,
there's a moral issue. What do we do?"
Yeah, but, and then the kid brings up the moral issue of the of them taking the money, but ultimately he's like, "Nah, let's feed Daigoro."
Right.
So, I thought that was all kind of fun.
Side story.
okay.
The guy who's not drinking. I wish I knew.
Yeah.
This one was kind of also hard to keep track of people's names and who. Right. Who played who? But oh, was he Goro? Anyway, his bit. His friend shows up at his house. He's got this big old bottle.
Yeah.
And he's saying, "I'm not." Oh, I think there's also the. It's in the paper that they're gonna give Daigoro. The anti-grow, and everyone's feeling pretty bad about it.
Yeah.
And he cries, and his friend shows up, and he's got this his big bottle, and he's like, no, I'm not drinking. I've been saving my money. And he goes to where he's been saving the money, and there's not much in there.
Right.
And his wife shows him that she bought this whole outfit.
Right.
With the saved money. And he freaks out. There's a part where his friend is defending his wife's actions, saying something about her. So it was some kind of like soap or some kind of thing that she for her face and made it clean and white or something. And Goro says, you don't have to mind if my wife's face is white or black.
I don't know.
And I was like, oh no.
Don't do that.
There is a long history,
right,
of Asian commercials that are very on the nose racist.
Oh no, is it like an actual product?
Well, this isn't a real thing, but he's being like, it's just, I was like, oh, this is a problem.
Yeah.
Just let that sit for a second.
So he's Goro, you said, right?
Yeah, I think he's Goro.
Okay.
If we're wrong, who cares?
Right.
I just kind of go in. Yeah. When I look up the actor, I'm pretty sure it's him.
Okay. So Daigoro loses to Goliath. Goliath can like summon lightning. And like essentially what it looked like was put a hole in Daigoro's chest. That's what it looked like when Daigoro was laying down. And I'm trying to think, is it at this point where Goro walks up Daigoro's chest to his mouth
and dumps
the honey in there?
Oh, right.
Yeah. So he dumps the honey because he bought the honey, I think. And he's like, I'm going to give this guy honey.
Oh, wait, there's two people named Goro in this thing. So I'm sorry. Go on.
And so, well, is Goro the baby? And then Daigoro is when he's grown up? Because isn't Daikaiju mean? I don't know. We'll just call him the sober guy. But he falls in.
There's Goro Kizawa and Goro Hachi. But one of those two is him.
All right. he falls into Daigoro's mouth. And from then on, I pretty much enjoy his storyline very much. About how heroic he is.
He becomes heroic, yes.
Right. And how, like, I think his wife says something about, well, he was passed out the whole time. You can't be that heroic. Like, they pulled him out. But I do like this idea of him being very heroic And it comes into play later on when they want to defeat Goliath. Because they say later on that, you know, it's always killing these monsters always has to be this big affair. It always has to be this, you know, I think he calls it an extravaganza. And he says, yeah, we should just go inside of its mouth and drop a bomb inside there. Like, so ever since this incident where he fell into Daigoro's mouth, that's like his obsession is we can just go in through the mouth. Like, yeah. He wants to like relive that glory. Daigoro comes back to life, and this is where they start training him. And Daigoro like takes it upon himself to decide that he's going to learn karate and just starts doing karate moves. And the dude on the beach is like, it's not very good. He's not very good at karate.
Right.
So right. They start training him, and they apparently know that he can shoot fire, but it's got to take, they've got to really like, either like get him angry enough or get him motivated enough to shoot fire.
Did they even know he could shoot fire?
They were trying to make him roar. I know that. And they're okay. Trying to make him roar, like manly, I guess. So when he did it, finally, they got excited and he blew the fire out. I didn't know if that was the main goal for them. Or if it was a side effect that they didn't know about. Like, if they're like, oh, that's a surprise. But they were just trying to, like, man him up or something. It was really weird.
I know there's a whole, yeah, they're doing a whole training thing for him, trying to,
Yeah. The doctor. You talked about that doctor for a little bit. So they were looking for a doctor on the island, and the only doctor available look like Snoopy's brother, Spike. He had like the floppy hat.
That's a doctor?
Yeah, they call him. He's like, that's what they said. They're like, you're the doctor? And he's like, yeah, I'm the doctor. What? But he kind of had like a sort of like a Hanna-Barbera sort of hillbilly out, like accent, like a like a kind of a goofy, the character goofy voice. But yeah, he was the only doctor on the island, and they were like, you're the doctor? Yeah, I'm the doctor. What?
I thought he was just like an old sage guy.
No, they called him a doctor.
This is the guy who talks about how, like,
yes,
we've ruined nature.
Yeah, he's got a brown floppy hat and like a white goatee. Yeah, he's
just like...
I swear to God they called him a doctor.
Like Jed Clampett.
Yes. I only remember it because I would have read it because it was we watched the subtitle version. Okay. But right. I swear to God, he was a doctor.
Okay, I believe you.
All right.
So at this point, suddenly I'm like going, I'm just gonna sit back, I'd be like, make a note of this, and just kind of watch, like that whole nature montage, when he's talking about how like. It's all about how the solution to beat Goliath, because that girl is no good, not going to help us. You know, they're just going to have to basically drop a nuclear bomb on the ocean,
right?
And how that's going to ruin basically the fish will be contaminated. You won't even be able to swim. Everything's about. And then they're talking about how bad that's going to be. Then suddenly. There's a montage of basically a bunch of stock footage of a bee on a flower and a horse and a baby horse.
Yeah.
And it's just a whole bunch of things like that are like, what?
It was like messages. It was like, it was weird. Cause it was like, I feel like it was full of like messages for kids. And there was a weird sort of like, first act, second act, like epilogue bumpers where it cut to black and you'd have the words on the screen and then it would have a bunch of kids in unison saying, this is the epilogue, this means something else.
Oh, yeah, the chapter markers. Yeah.
All that stuff was really weird.
Okay, so the plan to essentially even the fight out between Daigoro and Goliath is if they can wrap Goliath's horn up, he won't be able to use that horn because the horn is basically his main power thing.
Yeah, like he pulls the lightning, I think.
Yeah, he shoots lightning out of it.
Yeah.
So
they get these guys to do it.
Yeah. They inventor the what are you calling him? The dry guy?
No, the sober guy.
The sober guy and the sober guy's friend with the scarf around his neck.
Right.
And they go out to an island to go figure out what it is. And it turns out the island that they're on is actually Goliath.
Right.
And Goliath starts heading back and they're riding his back. And they got to figure out if there's a way to do it. But, you know, they try and send the inventor up there to do it. And suddenly Goliath kind of gets wind that there's someone back there and shoots him up into the sky.
Uh-huh.
But his mistake is that the horn cover basically worked like a parachute and they landed perfectly on his horn.
Yes.
And we're able to strap it on.
Right. But it comes off pretty easy.
Yeah, but he can also just basically pull it off like nothing.
Yeah. Then he goes after Daigoro, and Daigoro gets tossed into like outer space almost. Well, it looked like it, but they just got thrown really far away.
He just picks him up and
picks him up and just throws him straight out of frame.
By the way, when they see that Goliath is coming, because they get the signal there's also that whole comedy sequence of he's got like the special thing that's gonna set off the explosion signal, like basically like the flare, and so then they're discovering that they're basically on Goliath, and they keep telling him to no, don't do it behind you. And he turns and looks and then he ducks down again. And this goes back and forth forever.
Uh-huh.
And he ends up finally shooting it off. And so then Daigoro gets the whole group there get the signal. And then Daigoro starts doing like warm up moves, getting ready for his fight.
Right. It like I said, it's not like the greatest fight.
It's no.
A lot of just slapping.
Yeah.
And what were we watching then where we're just like, oh, it was Godzilla Raids Again, where it was just like tumbling in action. It was like really going at it and like knocking down models and stuff. Like this is kind of the opposite. It was just like,
you know, that's interesting. The Goliath costume, they gave him extra long arms.
Yeah, he reminded me of Toho's King Kong.
Oh, yeah. So there's this thing where, like, they kind of, like, bend backwards at the elbow a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's where the arm, it's kind of like it's the Metal the Luna is. Mutant. Yeah. And so it's like, it's too heavy on the ends.
Yeah. So Daigoro musters up enough energy to growl and shoot his fire.
Yeah.
And boom, one shot takes out Goliath.
Done.
Yeah. I thought it was enjoyable. I thought, you know, like if like Godzilla, like kind of like the Gareth Edwards Godzilla, like he used the fire breath for like a finishing move. Where it's like, this is the big thing you want to see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right. Obviously it's not done as well in this movie.
All, every time Godzilla fights, it's like he saves the fire for later.
But sometimes he just shoots it like in the 70s and stuff. like he was just shooting it everywhere and like not hitting stuff, and it wasn't as cool. But I do like the sort of like finishing move aspect to his sort of fireball. It seemed like it's definitely like a comp shot. The fire was comped in, but sometimes it looked good.
Sure.
I was like, oh, did they do real fire? Oh no, it's fake. But
no, yeah.
For a second. So the epilogue.
Everyone cheers, runs on the beach. Epilogue.
Okay. This made me so happy.
Z-Plan.
But like, yeah. Yeah. Like Z-Plan, but like
they
clearly some time has passed.
To strap Goliath to a rocket.
Right.
Here's yeah, sometime though, is fast.
Yeah, that's what I'm going
to
say.
To build the thing that straps into a rocket.
Yeah, but at least in this, unlike the original Gamera, they kept talking about Z-Plan, and like, there's no way they could have built Z-Plan's rocket dome thing in the amount of time they needed to. This one, you're getting at least like, okay, well, we have rockets. Can we strap this thing to a rocket? Like, I'm glad that there was obviously some time spent on figuring out how to get rid of Goliath. And I mean, clearly they didn't want to kill him. They wanted him to send him back to space, and that's the best way to do it.
Back where he came from.
Right. So the plan makes more sense to me than Z-Plan. Z-Plan came out of nowhere and fast. But the Goliath strap to the rocket is something that I want as a toy.
Like it definitely is the toy, the toy wish of this episode for sure.
Right. I think that, and then like a sleeping Daigoro.
I think I kind of like the design of the baby Daigoro.
Yeah. He doesn't look as creepy. He doesn't have those like four whiskers.
He looked actually as a babe. The baby looked more like his mom in the shape of the face than the full grown. Full grown Daigoro also kind of looked like that Okja cow hippo thing.
Exactly. And I was wondering about, I haven't seen that movie, but I've heard there's definitely messages in that movie as far as like either like making people want to go vegan or vegetarian or something.
Oh, sure, sure.
Like,
sure,
I feel
sure.
like the message is
that's definitely a strong message in it.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, is that like a thing? Like, because that kind of looked like a hippo sort of creature. And I'm wondering if they were trying to do a similar thing here, but I guess not really. Like, what's the message?
I got a question for you.
Okay, yeah.
Daigoro, Goliath's horn.
Uh huh.
When did it break?
I assume when Daigoro shot the fireball.
And it broke it.
I think so. Because it didn't break off with the sort of condom thing that they're putting
on. I don't remember seeing it broken until he was going up in the rocket.
Right, me either.
By the way, again, a toy of him strapped to that rocket, it has to have its own stand. Because his tail hangs straight down.
Right.
So it would have to be maybe the rocket, him strapped to it, and like whatever that tower is that they put a rocket on that holds the rocket in place that before they take it up.
I would even go, anyways. I would want the tube that goes to it with the sort of like plunger thing you step on and it like launches the rocket up like
one of those kind. I see.
That'd be fun too. I see.
So like a full
let's do it.
Just like a foam, like really light, something that you can just do those kind of step on.
Or those ones where you used to pump it up and then you release the pressure. Yeah.
That more epilogue is the inventor.
And we're calling him or I guess not sober guy anymore.
Oh, sober guy. I guess. His segment, I think, was first. Sober guy, he drinks beer.
The biggest beer.
And he downs it. And it makes his eyes turn red.
So I watched this with Stevie, which rarely happens. And And it was a weird one for her to,
it is weird.
Sit on. But she was like, oh, those beers look so good.
Does it keep her attention?
Well, the whole thing was, I told her, I said, oh, well, I still need to watch the two movies before we record. And she's like, oh, just do it when we get home. I got some knitting to do or something. She had something to do. So yeah, it was already set in stone that she was going to half watch it. But yeah, I feel like she ended up watching a lot more than she anticipated. Mostly because it was so just bizarre. And then I feel like, as creepy as he looks, I feel like Daigoro is very endearing.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, they're definitely trying hard to make him, endearing and people. Right.
But when the dude's drinking the beer and she's like, oh, that beer looks really good. And then obviously, you know, this guy, I'm not a beer drinker, but he hasn't had a drink in however long he hasn't had a drink for at least long enough for them to come up with a way to get a monster strapped to a rocket. So he's finally having a beer and she's like, oh, that looks so good. And then, yeah, the last like 2 or 3 seconds of the shot, his cheeks turn animated red, like a cartoon.
His eyes turn red.
It's like his upper, it almost looks like a Robin mask or something.
Yeah, basically, yeah, that is what turns red on his face.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I feel like it's definitely an anime thing. Okay, like that's something you would see in anime, like a giant sweat bead on like the forehead, or like blushing. Like, I feel like it's supposed to be something like that. But I enjoyed that epilogue of his. I thought that was kind of fun. Because he wasn't really giving up drinking because it was a problem so much as he was giving up drinking just to make sure that he can give that money to the Daigoro Fund. I just read my last note, but I think there's also one more epilogue thing. The inventor's front yard, the band goes haywire and starts shooting off. Yeah, that was weird. The president decides to increase the budget for the Daigoro Food Fund, which is great.
Right.
So there's that. The final scene,
man, Daigoro is eating so much at this point that they need to create a public toilet for him.
Right. And I was like, he was in there sitting and I'm like, I think that's a toilet. And Stevie, he reached like, up for the,
definitely for the toilet. Chain
and Stevie's like, yeah, oh, it is a toilet. And we were like grossed out. But at the same time, like, where was he shitting before?
Yeah.
So
no one addressed this problem earlier.
No. He's constantly eating, which means he's constantly got to be dumping somewhere.
Yeah.
So it looks and like
it's got like a couple like swinging doors on it. Has the WC on it.
Yeah, what did that stand for?
Water closet.
Ah, okay. I couldn't figure it out.
It's a common use for
I think it's funny that it was, well, first of all, so not only increasing the budget for his food budget, but also creating a toilet that would handle the amount of mess that this creature would make. But also, like, you know, like, I'm sure the whatever flushing system in that toilet is state of the art. But I think it's funny. I think it's funny that it's the stall that he can look out of. So he can look out of the bathroom while he's going, which I don't think I really want to see, but we saw it anyway. I think this is our first time we've seen a kaiju taking a shit. Right? We've talked about it before. We've talked about, you know, we've seen the underside of kaiju and we're like, oh, where's the butthole? Like, oh, does it poop? Like, we've had this conversation. But this one,
you are so sure that he's taking a shit.
sits down to pee. Well, I mean, he doesn't have a wiener, so. Oh, jeez. But the fact that it's addressed is, and it's like the last shot of the movie, I think is really funny. He could have been taking a pee, but I don't know. You don't think he did? He definitely flushed. So is Daigoro not one to let it mellow?
Yeah, well, for nature's sake,
right? Okay, so not our top five. But no. here's the thing. This is exactly what I thought when I was done. I was like, that was incredibly bizarre and entertaining, and I enjoyed pretty much every minute of it because there's something crazy going on. But I don't think I ever need to see it again.
Right.
But I probably would. I'd have to be in a really weird mood. I feel like if somewhere down the road they came out with like a really nice sort of like Blu-ray quality version of this, I'd be like, ooh, I'd like to see that again. Because the version we saw was on YouTube and it was kind of lesser quality.
Yeah.
But I don't, I think I want to look up Daigoro, see if it was something from before. See if it, I could see it being like either an anime or like a comic, like a manga. So I feel like there's definitely some stuff they left out at the beginning. But I was entertained. I'm glad we watched it for the show. I like when we watched Raiga, where it's like, oh no. Like that was a slot that probably could have been used for something more valuable. But with this one, I feel like, okay, that was interesting. It wasn't quite the level of Frankenstein Conquers the World where we're just like blown away. This was more like, I can't believe this exists. That's really weird.
Right.
You know, the characters were fun. The models were good. It's just weird. But I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't see any other things that Daigoro appears on. There is a character that's very similar called Setigan, who is from Neo Ultra Q.
Oh, which is the company that I believe went on to make Ultraman, right? Was it?
Yeah, I think it's one of the Ultramans, basically, yeah.
I think it was like the proto-Ultraman. I think it was like before Ultraman. It was like a black and white series.
He definitely looks similar.
Because I think Pigman first showed up in Q. What, Q? Ultra Q? What is it?
Yeah, I said again, as a large-nosed kaiju that is one of the many New Age Ultra Q monsters to appear in. So Neo Ultra Q is a series from 2013.
Oh.
So it's like it's kind of like a Ultraman, kind of like an Ultra Q reboot, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know what? I think, like, I don't know. We could talk about this off air, but I was gonna say like I think once we're done with this format where we're sort of beholden to the every other week.
Sure.
Like once we're done with this
special sort of, episodes.
Yeah, when we do like special episodes, instead of having to watch the two movie or watch the movies and make sure they're out on the schedule, we can be like, hey, over the next couple months or so, you want to watch like season one of Ultraman and then come in whenever.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't like mind. There's a lot of series that I'm like, what? That didn't quite fit.
Yeah.
The format for the show, like that one that's got that it's like a, he's got like a gorilla face, he's in a suit but he's got like blonde hair.
I know who you're talking about. Well, you're not talking about Goldar from Power Rangers, because he's kind of like that. Are you talking about the guy with the gold hair and like he's got like antenna?
No,
but that's the thing, is like we'll have time to kind of sit back and let's say, hey, let's watch the first season of Johnny Sacco. It's like, I don't know, it's only like 20 episodes or something, and I think that's the whole series. I think Johnny Sacco is only like 21 episodes or something. But it allows us to just kind of like casually watch it instead of having to like feel like it's homework. And, you know, so I think that'll be fun. But I'd like to check out like Ultra Q, the original.
Yeah.
And then like some Ultraman stuff. But yeah, we've been talking for a while on this episode already. We've been going for been going for like, I'd say at least 55 minutes on on this movie. It reminded me of Inframan, where so much crazy shit was happening that I'm just like, okay, I'm not gonna take notes anymore because I'd have too much. So, what were your thoughts? Did you like just absolutely hate it? Were you like hating every minute of it, or were you
I didn't hate every minute of it, but this isn't one that I feel I need to go see. There are movies that we, you know, that you kind of get disappointed by. Oh man, the version that we're working with is so bad,
right?
And this is not totally
right.
Speaking of,
yeah.
And this is not,
This does not
have that kind of, feel for me.
I'd like to see more of the character, and I don't know how that would happen unless they did a new one, but that would be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I would love this as an anime, maybe. Like, if there was an anime, I mean, obviously, we like costume monsters and stuff, but this didn't fully satisfy costume monster fights, except for the clip of the mom destroying the city.
Right. Yeah, well.
It's tricky to do kids ones of these for us.
Right. Well, I'm usually more forgiving. Like our first episode where we did Godzilla's Revenge, and I'm like, this is one of my favorites, and you're like, I hate this movie, and it's like, it's hard. Like, you have to be in that mindset, I think, to want to watch it. I still think it's one of my favorites.
I feel like if we had
individual top fives.
Oh.
Like if we were to like maybe that's good for our last episode.
All right.
Like there'd be definitely some overlap. I think Rodan and Frankenstein. But I don't know. Ours are pretty good. Monster Zero is really good too. They're all good.
Maybe we should have like our own individual top fives of like guiltiest pleasures.
Or we could do like our top fives outside of the top five.
Each of our individual five of the non-top five.
This is my 6 through 10 and your 6 through 10.
Okay.
So, because I think our top five is super strong.
It is really strong.
But then what comes after that? What's number 6 for you? And what's number 6 for me? And then we don't fold them together. We just,
just to find out what they are.
Yeah. So, all right. Let's talk about next week's episode. We're watching Battle in Outer Space. A Shiro Honda movie. Loosely a sequel to The Mysterians?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
I guess that's how it's accepted. I mean, it's... Yeah.
We can get into it next time. We'll have that discussion. But, that'll be available on kaijupod.com, which will also have links to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So keep an eye on that. And then, until next time.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to go donate to the Daigoro Fund.
I am going to
Stevie was knitting, and she
make a promise. What?
Wait, you're gonna make a promise?
So he was knitting and what?
Oh, she was knitting and she perked up and she's like, "What was that sound?" And I was like, "Oh, it was Daigoro's stomach growling." And she's like, "Oh." She's like, "Oh, that's exactly what that was." So I'm like, "Yeah." And she's like, "Okay."
I'm trying to remember if that sound set the dog off at all. But we're discovering that the new dog pays, like, the TV draws her attention more than it did on Smidge. Where, like, if we're watching something and, like, there'll be, like, a baby crying, you'll see her start turning your head, looking at the TV, like, what's going on? What? And if there's dogs barking on it, she'll start growling and barking back. And we were watching the new Planet Earth series, and she was going nuts. Right.
I saw that video, and you mentioned that it was the manatees.
Yeah.
And that's what Daigoro kind of looks like.
Oh, Daigoro is so manatee.
Yeah.
Except for the tail, but yeah.
And then it reminded me of the manatee on Conan. I don't know if you remember, Conan had a manatee. I don't remember why. It was Conan, but they used to have a manatee show up and do different things. I don't know. But yeah, Daigoro is kind of manatee-like.
Totally.
Except it has horns. Anyway. Well, until next time, what did you say? You promise?
I'm going to make a promise and tie a thing on my fingers so I don't forget it.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
Yeah.
The whole movie's interesting. He
ripped it off his shirt. He's like, it's not a great one. Another top five for our top five until next time.
Oh, they're usually awful.
They'll be so front loaded.
Right.
It'd be like, we used to be better.
You still think after, this is episode 82, you think after 82 episodes and like five bonus episodes that I would remember anticipate.
Well, I mean, take a note. There's some that when I'm taking note, I'm going, oh, that might be a good until next time, but no, nothing. Not for this one.
Yeah. All right.
After one, I just kind of put the pen down. I was like, let's just see how this plays out. I think we're at the end here.
Yeah. That movie was like a nightmare. Gambare Daigoro, Gambare Daigoro, makezu ni susume yo, doko made mo. Gambare Daigoro, Gambare Daigoro, chikara o tamesu toki ga kita. Shibuki ni futo iki o tome, umare kokyou.